So tonight I want to talk about the truth that the millennium is at hand. And if the millennium is at hand, then even the events of the millennium are even nearer at hand. So millennium at hand. This is not the version we have last Wednesday, but just something a little bit different. So the millennium is at hand. And then let's look in the Bible and see, what is the millennium. So the Lord taught us in the book of Genesis about the creation. So the creation itself, in Genesis 1, the first two verses, Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." You see, that's a big gulf of time between these two verses that we read it just now. A big gulf of gap of time, you know. In fact, we say this one. That verse 1 is in the eternal past, you know, eternal past. We can't even measure it, you know. So God created the heaven and the earth. All of a sudden, it became void. What happened in India? It's not our subject tonight. But things happened between Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because if you read the Bible, when God created the world, everything was good. Then in verse 2, all of a sudden, it became void. And that's a different subject. So, and we don't even know. When the Bible says in the beginning, that beginning, we don't know anything about it. We don't know how long it is. I call it the eternal past. It's so vast in time, we don't even know it, you know. So it's not in human record. But we know that he did create it and so on. That all of a sudden it became void. And then something happened to the earth. And we just left one alone for now. And what we want to do is this. So, and the completion, somehow the Lord completed the creation. Then the Bible says that he rested. In Genesis 2, we see what happened there, 1 and 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day," see, we're talking about the millennium, right? Which meaning rest and so on. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested," you see, millennium means rest. "And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So the millennium is a type of rest too. At the end of time, you know, I did a 1,000 year of, you know, of time where the Lord will reign from Jerusalem, and all the world we have to come and serve him there and so on. Once in a year they have to come there. But the bride that has been raptured will be with him at that time. So we are talking about how close are these events and so on, that, you know. So God gave man in the Bible 6,000 years really, you know, and so on. So man 6,000 years. It's already completed, really. What we are now is just God extending the time and so on. You know, we call it a transition time. You know, God's mercy and so on. And we can see this in the Bible. So therefore, you know, so now we see in the Bible that on the seventh day, God rested. He worked for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, you know, he rested and so on and that. Also, because of this thing, he told Israel the same thing. He told Israel the same thing. So we go into, let's see what he told Israel in Exodus 23, that they should work 6 days, and on the seventh day they should rest after his own pattern. You see, everything he does for example. Why was God resting? Not because he was weary. He is the Almighty God, can never be weary. Everything he did for example. You will see now how what he told Israel. So the 6 day working week commanded Israel is a type, you know, of what the Lord did when he created the heaven and the earth and so on and that, you know. So in Exodus 23, verses 12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thy ox and thy ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, even the handmaid, even the cook in the house, and so on, like that, you know. And the stranger, even the stranger in your house, and so on, may they refresh. You see, he wants us to be refreshed, and so on, like that, you know. This thing he commanded the Israelites, and so on. That's one scripture about that. The Bible always has two or three witnesses about the same thing. So in Exodus 31, 12 to 17, we read it also. It told Israel the same thing. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you, that for the Jews and so on, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, as we read before in Genesis, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Bible is not confusing. This is a covenant between God and the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. So don't get worried and say, oh, some people make a big deal of it in the church ages and so on. Some denominations now, they will make a big deal of it. One thing I know is this. Though it's a commandment between, or a covenant between God and Israel, it won't hurt us if God gives us grace to take one day off and rest. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it's not like a commandment to us, like it was for Israel, you know. And of course, for us in the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 28 told us of our own rest. The Bible says they are now remembered as a rest for the people of God, isn't it? In the book of Hebrews. So, if you look in, I don't have it in the slide. Isaiah 28 says, this is the rest where I will cause the weary to rest. The Bible, the rest in the New Testament is the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So if you look at Psalm 28, I don't have it on the slide. The Bible say I have to get it at Psalm 28. You know, so that another tongue, and a smashing tongue will I speak unto these people. And this is the rest where I will cause the way to rest, and the living here and so on. So in the New Testament, the promise of the Holy Ghost, you know, is the rest that God gives to the church. So the seventh day, the Sunday, and so on, is between Israel and God. But I always say to myself, I pray I can get my work done in 6 days. I haven't attended to that yet. Bible says that, you know, because we are supposed to be refreshed. I'm praying that one day I can just be able to do that and don't just live the whole day, don't just do any work and just praise God and just read God's word. Praise the Lord. So not like a bondage to us in the church age and so on, but the true rest for us is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can read Isaiah 28 yourself for that and so on. You know, I think we went through that before in some of our services. Now, so the Lord is eternal, and a 24-hour day is too short to reckon time with Him. So God has different scale of time measurement. You know, to us is the rotation of the earth upon its axis once every 24 hours. And he knew what he was doing to first that's red. Otherwise, I can see that, you know, even with the knife in place, people see work, isn't it? So, but, you know, that's the purpose for all these things and stuff like that, you know. So, but when you reckon with time, you know, it's different. So, and so the Lord is eternal. And 24-hour day is too short to reckon time with him. So, he has a 1,000-year day. And we can see that in the book of Peter, 2 Peter 3:8. Remember, we're talking about the millennium, right? And the millennium means rest and so on. You know, 6 days, and then the seventh millennium. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, let's bring out another truth in the Bible, in the creation. For many, many years, through science, when they look what they see on the earth, they know that the earth is not just 6,000 years old. Some Christians even fought them. True science never contradicted the Bible. Praise God. They were right that the Bible says the heart has been of old. Like I said in Genesis 1, when I said in the beginning, we don't know when that beginning was. We don't have any record of it. Praise God. People were thinking, even many Christians were thinking that, oh, the earth is 6,000 years old. No, that is when he created man. Praise God. So you see now, so let's read on things in the Bible that show us that the Lord didn't make the earth in 6 days or 24 hours. I'll just get one scripture for us. When it says 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, it doesn't mean a 24-hour day. Praise the Lord. We just even read now that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Praise God. So let's see now that the earth wasn't really made in 6 24-hour days. Genesis 2 verse 4. That's what the Bible says. Now, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. So it took generations, right? Mm-hmm. So how can it be 24 hours? The generations. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. You know, it is infinite. He could have done that in one day or in 1 second. Praise the Lord. But he wasn't in a hurry to do that. If he won, he could have done it in 1 second like that. But he was not in a hurry. So it took him that long and so on. So that's how that went in my mind. So when science is saying that by the carbon measurement that they found that this and this, yeah, they were right. The earth has been of old. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God is not mine, it's eternal. So we know that, you know, that it doesn't have to be 6 24-hour days. And even from what it says here, it's more than that, you know. So from Bible chronology, we are trying to see where we are in time. We are not to see where we are in time. From Bible chronology, from Adam to the time of Christ is 4,000 years. Man actually God actually gave man 6,000 years. And from the Bible chronology, from Adam to Christ is about 4,000 years. And from Christ to where we are now, it's about 2,000 years plus already. So according to God's measurement and time, man's time upon the earth is actually over. It's been now 6,000 years plus since Adam. And if we are measuring by 1,000 years per day and so on, and God rested, the same thing, he gave man 6 days. 6 days of 1,000 years each. You know, like we read in 2 Peter and so on. So we're already past 6,000 years of man's week. So before you know it, the 7,000 year should be the millennium, just like the Lord did in the creation, you know. So that's why at the coming, when the Lord come after the rapture, there will be a 1,000 year millennium rest. So it will be like the 7 days or 1 week of man, like the Lord created the heaven and the earth. So that's why the rapture takes place We're going to see the events that will occur now. So we have spent our 6,000 years or 6 days of working. Before very soon, God will kick in the millennium. In fact, what we are having right now, we are all just in the transition time to the new era of time, to the new age. Not the new ages, but to the new age of God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. So this thing is one sign that the coming of the Lord is near. Now, so what is the implication of this? We have spent 6,000 years already. That's 6 days of man's 7-day week, which one day is 1,000 years. So what are the implications of these things? Now, the seventh day rest is at hand, meaning the 7,000 year or the millennium is at hand. Let's look at the Bible where God speaks about the millennium, you know, and we see what the events are that lead to the millennium. In Revelation 20, when nobody is looking at the screen, yeah, we all have Bibles here, or if anybody wants, oh, you are doing it, that's fine. Okay, very good. Okay. So, now, here is what the Bible says in the book of Revelation about that millennium, to prove what will happen, to prove that we are the end of this age, you know. And I saw, Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So, you see, so, you know, that 1,000 years later will be banned, and the Lord will come back the third time with the saints. There are three comings of Christ. He's come one time already. The second time of coming of Christ, he won't touch this ground. Rather, we the saints, the believers, the Christians who are living and the coming, who are ready for the rapture, the Bible says, we will read it in later, in the, you know, before we finish and so on. So the saints who are ready to meet the Lord will be raptured. And the Bible says we are going to meet him in the air. The world will know nothing. They just have breaking news. So many number are missing, you know, and so on. Because the church has gone up to meet with the Lord, you know. And the Bible has given us examples in the Bible. So it won't be like it's a new thing. In Enoch, before the law was translated, you know, Genesis, you know, 5:24. I don't have it on the slide. And Hebrews 11:5-6, you know. And the Bible says in those accounts that by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death in the book of Hebrews. And the Bible says before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's a hint to us. What God requires of us in the rapture, we must have faith. Praise the Lord. And without the Bible, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. That's why we are not doing God any favor by reading the Bible. You are doing yourself a favor. Praise the Lord. And again, we are talking about the faith of God. It takes faith to go to rapture and so on. That, you know. And then the Bible says, then it pleased God. You see, the Bible says, you know, we must do the things which are pleasing unto him. But we are not here to please ourselves, but to please the Lord. So the Bible gives hints here and there what will happen. So we see, till the rapture will come, and we go to meet him in the air. Yeah? Then there will be the great tribulation. We're going to go through it now. I mean, this event. And then the millennium will come. And then the Lord will come with us for that millennium. So, okay, let's see. This is, we are not to think. So the Bible says an angel took a chain and bound the devil, right? So on Wednesday, we talked so much about that. Today is a different thing. But I want to say that chain is not like a physical iron and steel chain. This is a spirit. This chain is made of a spiritual substance. But it will be so effective, what it seems to do to in the natural, to the prisoner, is to contain them, right? They bind them foot and hand, right? And put them in the maximum security prison and so on, and they can't go out. So, but this chain in Revelation 20 will not be a chain of iron and steel. but it will be of a spiritual substance. What if it is a little, it can't come out of it? Praise it alone. For 1,000 years. We can get another scripture to tell you that in Matthew 18, because the Bible says the angel banned Satan, right? In Matthew 18, the Bible says, what the Bible says here, in Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do we have physical chains to do that now? No. It's a spiritual substance. The name of Jesus. Praise be the Lord. So that's what you are saying now. So it won't be like a steel and iron thing, but it is so effective. What it will do to Satan spiritually, where it cannot do anything to hurt people anymore for 1,000 years, as to what the chain, how the prisoners are contained today in physical prison. But spiritually now, we banned by these things for 1,000 years and so on, that, you know. So what are the events that, you know, that precede the millennium? What is the chronological order of events before we get to the millennium? First of all, first, the coming of the Lord Jesus and the rapture of the church. I always qualify the coming of the Lord as the second coming, because there are three comings. The one he already came one time, he's coming the second time for the rapture of the church. The third time is coming. So the first time he came to redeem the church, his people. The second time he will return to receive his people up. The third time he will come with his people to the millennium. Praise be the Lord. These are all Bible truths, you know. We must speak the truth and so on. Speaking the truth in love. So here are the events. So that first coming of Christ before the millennium, we are going to read two scriptures that speak to it. Every Christian, these are the very first scriptures I knew when I became a Christian. These two scriptures, every Christian was able to know this thing by memory. It should be your things and so on. These two scriptures and so on, like that, you know. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 17. It should be, when it wake you up, you must know it and so on. You see? So this is the first coming. These are the events before the millennium. First of all, the rapture of the church. And there are two scriptures we're going to give on that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 17. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In the Bible, the going home of a Christian is never called death. The Bible calls it the sleep. Praise it, Lord. Praise God. A Christian will never die. In John chapter 5, the Bible says that we have passed from death unto life. Praise God. So a Christian, when he goes to be with the Lord, the Bible calls it sleeping and so on, that, you know, in many, many places and so on. And that's what he's saying here now, you know. So the word, there is no other religion. Well, in fact, Christianity is not really a religion. It is God living in his people. Praise God. Others are religion and so on. See, they don't believe in resurrection. They have no hope of resurrection. That's nothing. They think everything just ends here and so on. What a lie of the devil. Praise God. So anyway, so he's telling the Christian, when one of the Christians pass away, then you should not sorrow, because we know the Lord is coming in the rapture and so on. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also we sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those who are sleeping in Christ. So when the rapture happens, in fact, that's what the Bible says, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are many things happening in that verse. First of all, there is a shout. Then there is a voice. And then there is a trumpet. If you look at the Bible, those things, they mean different things. You know, the shout is first of all to gather God's people. In Matthew 25, Bible said that at midnight, there was a cry. Is that right? There was a cry. So the cry is to alert God's people of the coming of the bridegroom, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are talking like this and so on. There have been so many messages that is proclaimed that the Lord is coming soon. So the shout. Now, then, So that there is a shout, then Isaac knows that there is a voice of the archangel and so on. You know, in John chapter 11, when at the tomb of Lazarus, Bible says the Lord cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth," isn't it? So that is shouting the resurrection and so on, I mean, the gathering of God's people, then the voice of the Lord, which is the resurrection of the dead and so on. So there's a message go forth to adapt God's people, the soon coming of the Lord. Then there is the voice of the Lord that raises the dead. Do you know that at the tomb of Lazarus, had he not mentioned his name, all the dead would have risen at that time?
Mm-hmm.
If he just praised God. Bible says that a time when all the dead shall hear his voice, and they that hear shall rise up, isn't it? He has to mention his name. Lazarus, comfort. Otherwise, all the dead would have risen up that day. Praise the Lord. There will be a time for that. Even there will be a time for that too, you know. And even where we are at now, there will be a time for that, you know. So that's why. So you see, in that verse, many things are happening. There is the message we have been going on for decades that the Lord is coming soon. Then this voice of the Lord, we call the resurrection and so on. Then the trumpet. What is the trumpet? If you look at Israel, the trumpet is always calling for a feast in Israel. That is, you know, the tabernacles and so on. It's calling for a feast. So in our time, in this verse, that trumpet is when we are raptured, we are going to meet with the Lord in the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a feast. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing and so on. Wonderful and so on. So that's the Bible and so on. That's the verse and so on. So the trumpet will be is a signal that when we are raptured, we are going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be looking at the world. The Antichrist issuing the mark while we are the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't play with these things because things can happen rapidly in the time we are living in. Praise the Lord. So we see now. So verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You see, in the second coming, he won't touch the ground. You know, we're going to meet him up there. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are for comfort one another with this word. That's the rapture that precedes the millennium. Let's get one more scripture on the rapture. These two scriptures should be in memory of every Christian who are looking for the coming of the Lord. So we get two of them. That's one, number one. Number two is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. They are saying the same thing, really. Beginning from verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So he hardly used the word die for a Christian that goes home. So we call it sleep, you know. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I've seen many Christians when they are witnesses to the sinners. I say to scare them with something and so on. You know, one day we will all die. Better repent now and so on. Well, it's good to preach to them that you repent, but we shall all die. It's false. According to this Bible, behold, we shall not all sleep. Praise the Lord. Just tell it the way it is. You know, witness to the sinner, tell them the repercussion of not receiving Christ in this life and so on. They will be missing all these things we are talking about and even more. So we shall not, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But one thing is this, we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the same trumpet you heard in Thessalonians chapter 4, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So we got two scriptures now that every Christian should have in his memory, even when they wake you up and so on, you can tell them, you can quote the scriptures and so on, and your heart is in it, you know, for what we are living for in the last days. So that's one thing that will happen before the millennium. The rapture happens first. The church is gone. What next is going to happen when the church is gone before the millennium is the rise of the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist comes to power by deception. These are big subjects, but we are just telling them as a bullet point, you know, of the events that are going to happen in our time. See, because the time is set and so on. So let's see now, the rise of the Antichrist. Thank God the church is gone out of here. There are many people who believe that the church will go through the tribulation. Where? And we know that That's another subject entirely. One of these days, we tell it again, and we separate the two. We show from the scripture. Yes, so since we here in the tribulation, but not all Christians, you know, will be here in the tribulation. That's why we must seek the Lord with all our heart. Praise God. So tonight, so we're not going to talk about that so much, but you know, so the other guy will rise after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Like we said, the Bible says, this man will come to power by deception. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. What will he do? Who opposes or opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself to be God, as he is God. You see what's going to happen? So, when the church is raptured, the God who goes to the Jews, Revelation 11 tells us that. I don't have it in the slide. So, in Revelation 11, God said, I will give power unto my two witnesses. They're going to be preaching in Israel for 3.5 years. It's called the God who will go back to the Jews, and the Jew will not really believe God until they have, until their own prophet preach to them. Therefore, by what the people, what these two people will do in Revelation 11, we look at their ministry, it just lines up with the ministry of Elijah and Moses. And tonight, that's not our subject, that the two prophets in Israel, Revelation 11, that will preach the gospel to the Jews at that time, and they will believe God. Anyway, the temple, there will be a temple. God will restore the temple worship to Israel. Today, on the temple site, sits the mosque of Omar. You know, but that will not prevent the building of the temple. There will be a restoration, you know, of the temple. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible say, you know, and you know that you know, there will be a covenant made between the Jew and the Antichrist, you know, and for the in the 70th week of Daniel, which we can't go into right now, but it coincides, that 70th week of Daniel is where the tribulation will happen, at the mid, which is the 70th week is 7 years of time, you know. So in the middle of it is when the great tribulation will happen and so on, and the Antichrist will appear in that temple that is set here, and declare to be God and so on. So the Bible says, for 1 week, this Antichrist and so on, we have this covenant with the Jews and so on. Because the Jews have been, you know, they have been pressurized all over the world, persecuted and so on, they're going to go through a lot of problems in the time we are living in and so on, that, you know. So this Antichrist will come and make a peace with them, promising to protect Israel. You can see what's happening around them, around the atomic bomb and all these things and so on. So this deceiver will come and say that he will help Israel and so on. But this is a thief too. He knows Israel is wealthy and so on. He wants Israel's money and gold too, you know. But tonight, that's not our subject. But the thing is this. When the rapture has taken place, so this man of sin will arise and so on. And then there will be a temple in Israel. And then we sit there, make a covenant with the Jews, after I promise to help them. And then when they have really believed him, the true Jew will really believe in him. Only the first Jew will. They will not be declared to be God and so on and that, you know. But actually, read that in the Bible here. So, anyway. So, this will fulfill what the Lord said in John 5:43. You know. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, he will receive. You see? That is the fulfillment of that scripture right there, you know. When the Lord was, the Jews rejected him. So when the attackers come now, see, they receive him. The first Jew will receive him. But the true Jew will not, you know, as we know, you know. So this attacker system will win what admiration through lying, wonders, and signs, you know. So let's get the show for that in Revelation 13. These are the events preceding the millennium. The rapture has taken place. The Antichrist is made manifest and so on and that, you know. And you're going to see what he's going to do right now, you know. He will become like Joseph, but he'll be like a false Joseph. Joseph did good things in the land. He got all the land for Pharaohs and so on. And but this one, according to what we read in Daniel chapter 8 and so on, you know, he gathered all the land for his own and the gold of the world and so on and that, you know. So, but what in Revelation 13 and 6, this is what he's going to do. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. We can show from the Bible that word sea in the Bible always refers to peoples of the world, you know, people of the world and so on that, you know. Anyway, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So that's how he comes to power and so on, that, you know. So the attacker, he comes to the power like that. Once in power, like Hitler did, he will carry out a war of extermination of those professing the name of Christ. He will war with the Jews, and the Christians who didn't go on the rapture, Bible says he's going to make war with them. Doesn't want to hear anything about Antichrist, right? Doesn't want to hear anything about Christ. All the people that are left here of Christians and so on, make great war with them. That is in verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and of them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's why I thought we should be here at the time of the tribulation and so on. That to pray and believe God, and one will be in the rapture. See? So these are the events, you know, in time order of what will happen. In order to identify those who are loyal to him, the beast system will require a mark to be given. Talking about the events before the millennium. Rapture has taken place. Antichrist manifests himself. Make a covenant with Israel. 1 week covenant of 7 years. In the middle of the week, he will build a covenant. Daniel 9:27. And in their temple, with the Christ to be God and so on that, you know. There we now bring persecution against Christians who are here and the Jews. Now, so the next thing is this. So, to identify those who are loyal to him, he will issue a mark. Revelation 13:16-18. Now, and I don't have that one here on the slide, but it's there on the slide, but I don't have it here. You can read it. So we issue a mark. Then, at this time will come the great tribulation, you know. And let's see the Bible where the Matthew 24:21-26 tells about the great tribulation. So, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. It will be the worst time in the history of the world. This tribulation will be the worst time in the history of the whole wide world. The Lord said that there is no such trouble in the world. They say they have trouble now. Wait a few more years. When the beast system manifests itself and so on. Bible says it's a time of trouble as has never been seen. Worse than World War I and World War II will be upon this earth and so on. According to the Bible and so on. You know? So, and there's never been a time like that again when it is over. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But the Lord loves us. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The Lord that called the end from the beginning, he knows what will happen at the end of time, and because of all the elect people, he will shorten the time. You know why? Because even as we know, before the modern era, people wondered how this will happen and so on. Like we always say, by the time they have World War II ended because of the invention of the atomic bomb. You see? They now know that they now have arms, weapons that can destroy the world over. In fact, the atomic bomb is nothing compared with the hydrogen bomb. In the 50s, 53 or so, Russia detonated the war, hydrogen bomb and some of that, you know. And there was plague all over the world and some of that, you know. So the hydrogen bomb is many, many, many times powerful than the atomic bomb. Now, when they see that thing, they now know that the Bible is true. You know, say, except the Lord shortens the time, they will just destroy the earth. But it won't let them do it. Praise the Lord. The Bible is true, and so on, you know. So, the Lord will shorten the time. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. The word is full of them now. And shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Do you know why they are deceived? Because they don't have the word of God. That's why, you know. That's why God's word is so important for you to know the scriptures. You hear a noise over there, they are saying this one. What are you going to do? Do you know what the Bible says about that event? That's why you must bury yourself in the word of God. Only the elect will not be deceived, but the word will be deceived, you know. So, and the Lord said this one. Behold, I have told you before, the Lord is always warning his people. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. One more scripture that predicted the great tribulation of time. That's one, Matthew 24. In Daniel 12, the fourth verse, the same kind of thing, the Lord painted this picture. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for thy people, the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. It was written to Daniel here, right? And Daniel's people are the Jews, right? You can also see the same matching with the book of Revelation and so on. So because the attacker will rise and then make a covenant with them for 7 years, 1 week, 7 days of Daniel. In the middle of the week, he will break the covenant and sit in that temple and declare himself to be the Messiah that the Jew is looking for, you know. So, you know, the Lord came the first time as the Messiah. They didn't recognize him. They didn't believe him. So, the attacker will come and declare himself to be the Messiah, and the false Jew will accept him. But the true Jew will not accept him. So, we see that. So, that these are the two scriptures that show you that the great tribulation will be a terrible time, the worst time the earth has ever seen, or we ever see. But the church is gone to glory, and so on, at that time. So we see. These are the events. Now, so these are the few events we can number that will happen before the millennium. First of all, the rapture of the church. Second thing is the Antichrist will make himself manifest and they will deceive the whole world. Initially, it will be like a benefactor of the world. It will prove to be able to solve the economic problem. That is 8, 25 and 2, all of that, you know. Because it will so, Satan will give a kind of wisdom that I can solve all the world problems. That's how we win them to himself and so on. In fact, the gold bottle of the war will end up in his hand. I call him a false Joseph. Joseph got all the land, yes, and all the things together, but he was a good Joseph. He distributed it to the people and so forth. This war, he will get to enslave the people and so on. And he will issue a mark to control the economy, you see. Nobody can buy or sell. Terrible time upon the face of the earth. No time to be here, really, you know. So these are the events. Then, after the great tribulation, the Lord will now come again for the millennium. So, and those are the events before the millennium. It's right here. We talked so much on that on Wednesday in a different light. Maybe one day we can talk more like that, you know. Maybe one day in the next month we can go over that one again, you know. So the rapture is the first thing, right? Before the millennium, before this. So how do we prepare for the rapture? I just give a few scriptures here. The Lord is so good. He told us in the Bible how to be ready. If we follow his instructions, we will never regret, you know. So, let's talk about the scriptures that tells us how to be ready for the rapture. The Lord doesn't only want to rapture us, He told us how to. That's how good the Lord is, you know. He doesn't expect you to do what He hasn't given you power or authority to do, you know. So, prophecy describing the events before the rapture and so on like that, you know. Preparation for the rapture. Matthew 24, 37 to 39 says this. He likened this time of the rapture to the time of the antediluvian. So he told them what will be happening around the rapture. And when we read them now, you can see for yourself if these things are happening or not. Matthew 24. The event that will be happening to tell you the rapture is near. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day, meaning the rapture day, an hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. How many times in the history of the world has one man or the other rise up and say, oh, so and so day, the Lord will come? There have been many, many of them. They will gather themselves together in one place, they will lock themselves in one mountain and so on. It has been proven to be lies. Yeah, this Bible scripture is right here. Nobody, not even the angels, know the day of the rapture. Praise the Lord. The Lord left it in the mystery. And yes, over and over, with this Bible open in the heart of many, many Christians of the centuries past and so on, they will believe one prophecy, they will go and go to the one mountain and so on. Even our niece, back in our own early day, I saw it happen and so on. You know. So, the Lord will give us a signal, the Bible told us, of the general timing. But of the day or the hour, no man knows. That will be our guide. So, praise the Lord. So now, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then he told us what was happening. In the days of Noah. So let's see this happening right now in our day, and see if they don't match the events of the days of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all the way. And the Lord predicted and prophesied, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, nothing is wrong with eating, nothing is wrong with buying and selling stuff. It is when somebody makes it the chief aim of his life that became an idol. Nothing and nothing ever to be placed before the Lord. Not our job, not our wife, not our children, none of those things. In fact, the Bible says, he that loveth me or child more than me is not worthy of me. The Lord should always be number one in our life. Praise the Lord. So the eating is not wrong when they eat right, but they are living to eat. That's the problem. America, the bread basket of the world and so on, they eat so many times in a day, you just see them, you know. Let alone have power food and so on, that's nothing wrong, but if they made it the chief thing of their life, you have to work. He that worketh not, let him not also eat. Is that right? Praise the Lord. But when we put ahead of the Lord, then we are in trouble, you know. We should never put anything ahead of the Lord, you know. That's what the Lord is saying here. So, is it not to get married? No, nothing wrong. The first miracle of the Lord was done in John chapter 2 in a wedding, isn't it? The first public miracle that he wrought, he turned water into wine in a wedding. He wasn't coming wedding, but when they now put that marriage life and so on above the law, not thinking about the coming of the law, then that's where the idol comes in there. So we are saying that one, commercialism is what the Bible is talking about here. They are all about commerce. All the world trading time. They are all trading, merchandising and so on. Even Christmas so called, they turn into merchandise and so on. Bible say this is what happened in the days of Noah, and the flood came, and they knew it not, and it took them all away. The Lord has warned us here, warning his people, not to be like that. Let's see one more thing of the sign of the coming of the Lord. So we see commercialism, what it's all about, you know. It's all commerce, everything is commerce, 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 you know. Not talking about Christ, not talking about Christ and so on. In fact, you know, and the Bible tells us in Luke 12, if you will serve the Lord with all your heart, you know, Bible says, you know, look at the ravens. They don't sow, They don't have any bank account. They don't have a store, house, and so on, that, you know. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. He showed the lilies of the valley. They don't spin, they don't toil. Yet, the Lord God of heaven clothes them. And they are even more beautiful as Solomon in all of his glory. You know, can't even compare with one of these lilies and so on, that, you know. Bible says the Lord so much feed the birds of the heaven. How much more value are you better than the bird? And if he so much bless the lily and so on, so beautiful, how much more will he clothe you? And he rebuke us, oh you of little faith. We shouldn't commercialize and so on and put anything ahead of the Lord. You know, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy might and with all thy heart. Okay, talking about eating, and that's why we are doing all these things. Then shall they fast when the Lord has gone and we are waiting for him, you know. Bible says in Luke 21:34, and their hearts were overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. You know, Bible says and so on, and wonders. I think we get to it. I think it's the last scripture here tonight and so on. So what we are going to see near the coming of the Lord. So we see the commerce all over the world. We are always talking about their economy and so on. Somebody talking about the coming of the Lord. Luke 17, there will be wickedness like of the days of Sodom. Look at our word today. Let's read in Luke 17, 20-32. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat. Here you go again. They drank, they bought. You see, commerce, commerce. It's all commerce. They sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The Lord giving warning. This is Lord's talk. Even though shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, the Lord is painting a picture saying that history will be repeated again. You know, like it happened in those two instances. He gave two witnesses, the flood and the days of Lot and so on, Sodom and Gomorrah went into smoke. See? In that day, he we shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. But say, remember Lord's wife. What sombering warning. So the gain. Nothing is wrong with buying something, or buying a house, buying all these things. It's when people make it the chief end of their life, their own main purpose in life, that becomes sin, you know. So, now, so we see that thing will happen near the coming of the Lord. God did not say these things and so on. Now, the church will be like the wise and the foolish virgins near the coming of the Lord. And in Matthew 25, the 10th verse, he made it plain to us what we should be doing. And while they went to buy, see, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in within to the marriage, and the door was shut. See, you get the parable. That one scripture that condemned the people that saying that all the church will go into the great tribulation and so on, that, you know. All that people say all the church will go in the rapture. There are many, many versions of this thing. Some say all the church will go in the rapture. Some say there's no rapture until after the great tribulation. But that parable told us right there, you know. Five were taken, five were left, you know. Not all the church go up, not really, you know. So, and that's why the Lord gave us this one. So, this verse I just read, it's what made the difference between those who are left and those who are taken. The one who are taken are those who are ready. The Lord hated nobody. He wants everybody. But there's no way you can take those who are not ready. You know, that's the thing. You know, that is the key verse in that parable and so on. So when we have that key verse, then we always get ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. So, and in Matthew 24:40-42, also tells us that not all the church goes up at the rapture. You know, verse 40 of Matthew 24 says this. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be gathered at his name. The one shall be taken and the other left. And I will say, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's why we should always keep our eyes watching and praying. He keeps sending us watch and pray. And by God's grace, He is helping us, and we should just get more and more focused. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some people that have prayed too late, you know. Now it's hard to see the Lord. Now it's hard to watch and pray. Not when the flood comes, like in the days of Noah, when the ark door was shut. We want to wait until that time. And with the Bible says, He that continues my work unto the end. You see, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now let's read my familiar scripture here. How He told us what to do also to be ready for His coming. And this is a verse that every Christian should memorize and make it your pattern of your life. You know, Luke 21:34-36. That is the formula for going up. Praise the Lord. That is what you and I must do to go up. You know, if you do all these things, we need not fear the great tribulation. We need not fear the Antichrist. We need not fear anything. So Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. You must be very careful. Let's start and cast all our cares upon the Lord. Know that He cares for us. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Just like the flood. Just like Sodom. One day, they may do all their wickedness. Until one day, see, the Lord sent an, you know, came with two angels. He said, Abraham and so on. And to them, I've heard all the wickedness of Sodom and so on. Then he said to those angels, go and visit them and see what happened there. They tried to even do unto those angels their wicked acts and so on like that, you know. All of it started overnight, you know, without any warning or without anything, just happened like that. The Bible says it be like that, the coming of the Lord. All of it started, breaking news. These people are missing and so over there. So many are missing over there and so on. It'll be too late to pray at that time, you know. So the ark door is being shut when the rapture takes place, you know. So, as it's near, then to the people, to His people, worship therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. So we now see the events now. They are very, very simple events. And we can see the signs all around us. And next time around, we can point out to the things that even the world has, the people the world are doing, showing that the millennium is at hand. And because the rapture takes place year before the millennium, then the rapture can happen anytime, really. Anytime. In the eye, you think not. The Son of Man coming. But we won't worry. If you are seeking His faith day by day, as we are doing here, don't have to worry about anything. Praise the Lord. Just concentrate on having the Lord. That's all it takes. And so on. Watching and praying. Father, we thank You tonight, you know. We can sit here and be talking about all kinds of things. Where Your treasure is, there will Your heart be. Our treasure is in heaven. The Bible says that seek the things which are above, not the things which are on the earth. So our treasure is in heaven, wherein we look again for our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, Father, as we read all this scripture day by day, Wednesday by Wednesday, Sunday by Sunday, and letting these things sink into us until we are part of God's word. So do unto us, Lord. Father, we thank You. Lord, and the Bible says Your commandments, they are not grievous. The Bible says the people who are fathers in this world, natural fathers, they chastise their children for their own gain. Not our Heavenly Father. He corrects us for our own gain, that we may not be judged and condemned with the rest of the world. So therefore, give us understanding, Lord. And Lord, help us to pay attention to Your word. And spend time with the word of God. Lord, we thank You for that. You have promised us, if we do this thing, we will never be sorry. We will sure to go up with You. That's our prayer daily, Lord. Father, even we pray that prayer right now, Lord. Father, we pray that You account us worthy, Lord, to escape all these things, Father, and to stand before You in that rapture. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us wisdom, Lord, to separate the earthly things Yes, we have obligations. Yes, we must be responsible and so on. But the Lord must be first at all times. And He will never fail us. Father, we thank You. We worship You, Lord. Seek You first, the kingdom of heaven, and its righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us, so He promised, and He will never fail us. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the time of waiting. Lord, in the name of the Lord, they will ask You, why is it that the disciples of John the Baptist, even the Pharisees, they fast often, and Your disciples did not fast? And You say, how can You make the children of the bride's chamber to fast or to mourn while the bridegroom is with them? The day will come, the Lord says, when the bridegroom shall be taken away. Then the serious Christian, then shall they fast. We are the day when the bridegroom has been taken away for 2,000 years. He can come anytime now. That's why we set it a time of fasting and praying. And we know You hear us all. Father, we thank You. Bless every one of us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek You and help us to endure to the end. Not to be distracted by anything of this world or get weary or get tired of seeking the Lord. But every meeting, let it, O Lord God, transform us from glory to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we are helpers like Noah. Bible says, when Noah heard about the coming judgment, Bible says he moved with fear to know with the saving of his household, and he hid the word of God. This whole house, Lord, we are believing God for the going up in the rapture. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank You. We worship You, Lord. Thank You for giving grace and strength. Bless, Lord Jesus. As Your word says, You will. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.